Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. Happy Reformation Sunday. This is the day when we recall not only the work of Reformation that has been done in the past, but how God is continuing to reform the church, that we are in constant need of correction. And so I'm glad to see those of you who remember to wear red. Oh, you forgot. We've only been doing this for 505 years, so you've got another 505. That's good. All right. Our announcements today. Our food pantry volunteers for this week are Jan Nelson and Linda Champlin. On Tuesday at 10 a.m., we will have Bible study here. Wednesday at 8 a.m., we have the men's breakfast. Do we remember where it is?
UCC.
Very good. At 5:30, we have youth group here. They're going to be beginning their rehearsals for their play, which will be on December the 18th. So, yeah, put that on your calendar. Remember to come that day because they replace the sermon. You get to listen to the gospel as told by the children through their performance. And Thursday at 2 p.m., we have bell choir practice here. I also want to note that I received a message from Michelle Lofgren that Nels is back in the hospital with the same complaints. Please keep them in your prayers. Do we have any other announcements? If not, please stand as you are able for the confession and forgiveness. And before we get started, I also want to remind you to please fill out the yellow slip of paper with those you would like remembered next week during All Saints Sunday. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, number 504. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Kyrie can be found on page 184. On page 204.
Thank you.
us pray. Almighty God, you have taught us in your Son that love fulfills the law. Inspire us to love you with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And teach us how to love our neighbor as ourselves. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. A covenant that they broke, thought I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with this house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer they teach one another or say to each other, "Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, for the least of them to them greatest," says the Lord, for I will forgive them their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Let us read Psalm 46 responsibly. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear through the earth, through the moon, and through the mountains, through the depths of the sea. Through its waters and range and foam, and through the mountains tremble with its tumult.
There is a river which streams from the east, the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High
God. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be shaken. God shall help it break the day.
When the nations rage and the kingdoms shake, God speaks and the earth melts away.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now, we regard the words of the Lord. What does the nations God has brought on his
Behold the one who makes war to seize in all the world, who breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire.
Be still then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is in our stronghold. The second reading is from the third chapter of Romans. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been... For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law. For though the law comes from knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is assisted by the law and its prophets. The righteousness of God through the faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. Since we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are now justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of anointment by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness because in his divine forbearance he has passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one with his faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting, it is excluded. By that law, by that works, no, but by the law of faith. For we hold that as a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Word of God, word of life, thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean, saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus' words today are addressed to those in the crowd who have come to believe in him. He tells them, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The response is hostile. "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone." They seem to be forgetting their history, all those years that the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. They ask, "What do you mean by saying we will be made free?" Jesus answers them directly, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." That is not an easy thing for people to hear, to be told not only that they are sinners, but that they are slaves to sin, especially if they believe that they are good, upright people who have done their best to keep the commandments. Jesus continues, "The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." What is Jesus saying? Jesus is describing himself and his relationship to the one who sent him. He is telling them that he is the one who can set them free in a way that no one else can, by calling them into a relationship with him that will lead to their freedom from the slavery of sin. He is inviting them into the truth, which is not a concept, but a person. For as Jesus says in the same gospel, he is the way and the truth and the life. When we confessed our sin at the beginning of this worship service, we confessed that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have no power in ourselves to break the chains of sin. We are freed through our faith in Jesus. It is that faith in the one who is the truth that sets us free. It is why we proclaim that we are justified by faith alone in Christ alone. Justification is the act of God not only forgiving the believer's sins, but imputing to him or her the righteousness of Christ. In Romans 5, verse 1, and Galatians 3, verse 24, we read that justification comes through faith. It is not earned through our own works. The believer, being declared righteous, is freed from the guilt of sin. When I was taking a class in Lutheran Confessions in seminary, we worked through the Book of Concord, a collection of creedal documents originally published in 1580 in Germany. It is largely the work of Martin Luther and Philip Melanchthon. I remember stopping at one point in my reading, marveling at the words on the page about God's grace and mercy, wondering, if this is true, and I do believe it to be true, why are we not telling the world about it? As I continued to read, the words sank into my heart as well as my mind, that there is nothing I can do to earn God's love and God's grace, that those things have been given to me freely by God, that God has declared believers to be justified by reason of their faith. I think I was sharing a bit in what Martin Luther experienced as he studied the words of Paul about the righteousness of God and about faith. Luther had been having difficulty with the phrase, the righteousness of God, or the justice of God. He had been taught to understand the term, the justice of God, as the justice with which God is just and punishes the sinners and the unrighteous. Luther had no confidence in anything he did was pleasing to God, no matter how conscientiously he lived his life as a monk, no matter how much he read and meditated on Scripture. He was angry at God and even stated that he hated this righteous God. He wrote, "As though it were not enough that miserable sinners should be eternally damned with original sin and have all kinds of calamities laid upon them by the law of the Ten Commandments, God must go and add sorrow upon sorrow, and even through the gospel itself bring his justice and wrath to bear." But as he continued to think about the phrase, the righteousness of God, he noticed the context of those words, and as he wrote, began to understand the justice of God as that by which the righteous live by the gift of God, namely by faith. It was at that moment that Luther realized that God justifies the believer, making the believer righteous, completing what has already begun by creating faith. Luther now understood that God would keep the promise of baptism by which God claimed him as God's own. This is freedom. That in having faith in Christ, the believer is freed from the shackles of sin and declared righteous. It is that freedom from sin that provides another freedom, freedom to turn outside oneself and toward the neighbor. Do you believe this? That through our faith in the one who is truth, that God has declared us justified, that God loves us and forgives us. Do you believe this? I hear silence. Do you believe this?
Yes.
If you believe it, are you sharing this message with others? A few weeks ago, I asked you to fill out slips of paper. Do you remember those? About actions that you could take and actions that we could take as a church to step out in faith. I asked you to turn in these ones, the ones about the actions we can take as a church. And here are your responses. Attend church faithfully. Spread the word. Be more evangelical. Invite others to hear the word at our church. Be involved with other churches. We all serve the same God, and in number, we can do so much more than just a few number. Trust in his will and allow it to grow. Lead by our example of faith. Seek out others in need. Pray. Visit our shut-ins. Invite the churchless to come. Be open and receptive to change. The church needs to show more enthusiasm, to show our trust and faith in God, to continue prayer, knowing God will be there to help us live a life in God. Invite and pray for those unchurched. Be a good neighbor. Pray. Invite more people to church. Support Pastor in her work in our lives. Pray for her strength to continue her work with the help of God. Christian fellowship and devotions. And one that I think really sums things up. Take the good feeling we have when we leave the church on Sunday and share it throughout the week. When I looked at the overarching themes and the responses from both St. Luke's and Union Congregational, this is what I noticed. The number one response was that we need to step out in faith as a congregation by inviting people to church. I agree. Here is my question to you. When did you last invite someone to church? How many have invited someone in the last 10 years? Hands? In the last 10 years, have you invited someone to church? How about in the last 5 years? How about this year? I'm not seeing many hands. Here is my challenge to you. If you believe that the truth can set people free, that freedom comes from having faith in Christ, and that faith in Christ can occur when people come to know Christ, then invite them to church. Not just on some unspecified date, but let's say November 13th. It is not a special date on the liturgical calendar. It's actually the last Sunday of the church year that is green. We do have the bells playing that day. That might be an incentive. But November 13 comes between All Saints Day, which we will celebrate next week, and Christ the King Sunday, which we will celebrate on November 20. It is just an ordinary Sunday, if there is such a thing as an ordinary Sunday. Invite a friend, a relative, a neighbor, the person in front of you at the grocery store. Invite them, regardless of whether you think they will accept the invitation. Just invite them and pray for them. Step out in faith that somewhere out there is someone waiting to be invited, someone who needs to hear about the grace and mercy of God, someone who needs to hear what you hear every Sunday, that God loves you beyond your wildest imagining. So let us pray. Lord, give us the strength and courage to continue in your word so that we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. Help us to share your gospel message with those we encounter in the world so that they may come to know you and believe in your justice and your grace. Amen. Let us join together in the hymn of the day, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. It is number 858. Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In gratitude and humility, let us join together in prayer on behalf of all of God's creation. God, our fortress, we pray for the Church. Write your law of love on the hearts of your people, that we remain steadfast in our witness to your grace. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God, our liberator, we pray for your earth. Bring new life to overused land and contaminated rivers. Reform and reorient our relationship with the environment, that we faithfully care for all of your creation. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God, our refuge and strength, we pray for the nations, where they are in an uproar. Bring wise leadership and comfort for those in distress. Make wars to cease and peace to enter every land. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God, our very present help in trouble, we pray for those in need. Show mercy to refugees and all fleeing from danger. Shelter any without homes. Calm all who are facing illness, surgery, or a new diagnosis, especially those on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God, our Redeemer, we pray for our congregation. Bless all who are preparing for baptism or affirmation of baptism. Open their hearts to your Holy Spirit. Teach them your word and give them courage to proclaim their faith. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God, our stronghold, we give thanks for those who have gone before us in faith, especially Martin Luther and all reformers. Renew and reform us as we strive to continue in your word. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. With grateful hearts, we commend our spoken and silent prayers to you, O God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. And we thank you for sending your offering to the church or giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, number 184.
Thank you.
This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready.
Thank you. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, for the precious healing power of this gift of this life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you, and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As you go into the world, receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Let us join together in our sending song, A Daughter Called in Ages Past, number 632.
Thanks be to God.